Welcome to Expanding You on the Conscious Consumer Network. This is Indy Irie, and we're back with another amazing edition of the Owner's Manual for the Human Body. We are here with our panel, the full panel. This time, we've got all of our healing artists with us to speak to us and share and expand our awareness on thyroidism. Before we get started, let me introduce to you the panel and also take time to welcome Clive DeCarl to the show for the first time on Expanding You TV. However, he's sorting out his audio right now, so he might not be able to speak. Clive, can you hear us yet? Are you fixed up there?
I can hear you.
Yay! Welcome to Expanding You, your new venue on TV, my darling.
Thank you.
It's going to be a good one. The show was inspired by the author of a book called The Owner's Manual for the Human Body, Dr. Darko Velcek. Welcome to the show, darling.
Oh, hello, love. It's great to be here. And thank you for the audience, everybody who's listening. Any questions, please ask. We'll be glad to dissect them.
Absolutely. And we're working on getting a call-in number to be displayed on the show so that going forward, we're able to take people who are viewing the show and who want to interact with us in real time. That capability is available to us. And so our extraordinary producer will be sorting out all the details of that. But in the meantime, just look forward to that coming soon. If we get that number today, we'll absolutely share that with you. Last but never least, the doctor who reminds us constantly that medicine is not all there is and that we are not sick, we are toxic, and he is committed to making us naturally better. Dr. Jeremy Ayers, hello, darling.
Hello, and thank you for having me back.
Couldn't do it without you. You're my dream team. So today we're going to be talking about thyroidism, hyperthyroidism, thyroid disease. However you've come across this term, many of us are familiar with it. If it's not a personal struggle, then we probably know someone or closely connected with someone who knows someone who's experiencing this diagnosis. So as in all the other cases of failing health, there's not much difference when we analyze dis-ease with the thyroid gland. We keep hearing the same sorts of solutions reiterated over and over, but that's because at the ultimate level, we are malnourished, we are dehydrated, we are out of a systemic balance with our surroundings and our environment, the planet, and everything else. So we're going to get an understanding of as to what this malady is, what does it mean, and what are the underlying conditions that we usually fail to recognize in the allopathic method of treating this disorder. So let us begin with Dr. Darko Velcek. Hypothyroidism or thyroid disease, Darko, what is that when we hear someone come to us and say, this is what the doctor has told me I have? What's really going on with them in their system or in their body?
Well, right on the back here, you mentioned allopathic treatment. Well, allopathic medicine does not treat anything. It suppresses everything. And we have to distinguish these things. Treating is you are bettering something. This we are not doing with allopathic medicine. For those who are a little bit confused, you know, I call it modern medicine or occidental medicine. What is the problem here when we are talking about thyroid gland? It is a cellular structure. Every disease or dis-ease, as Jeremy points, is actually starting from a cellular dysfunction. This is being neglected always by allopathic medicine. Nothing is actually checking the cell. The medicine always just goes and address the symptoms. So what are the symptoms when we are talking about a thyroid gland? Well, you can have two different groups of symptoms, because thyroid gland is a gland that secretes hormones. It is quite involved in cellular metabolism. So what happens if it excretes more hormones, if it is more active, then we have a one set of symptoms. If it secretes less hormones, will be less active, so it will produce a different group of symptoms. So when thyroid gland is more active, more hormones are being pushed in circulation, we call it hyperthyroidism. Now, what it means by it, that basically the cells in our body start metabolizing, producing energy much on higher rate. And we see it as people with this anomaly, this is actually seem to be thin. No matter how much they eat, and they eat a lot, they stay thin. Now, on the other way, if we have hypothyroidism, when thyroid gland does not produce any hormones, we have the contra opposite reaction. People may eat a regular amount of foods, but they will not metabolize it on a cellular level. So what happens is that they tend to store this energy instead of burning it, and they get big, they get obese, fat. But at the same time, a lot of people are now being told, well, you know, you have a problem with the thyroid because you are being so fat. You don't eat much, and they agree, yeah, I don't eat much, I'm getting fat, I must have a problem with hypothyroidism. And, you know, I meet a lot of people that are obese, and I always have the same answer from them. Well, I don't eat much. This is my constitution, or my thyroid gland is not active. And I, well, number one, I have never ever seen any picture of an obese person from concentration camp. Okay, so if you don't eat, you cannot get fat, period. And now the truth is that, yes, you may metabolize faster or slower. Your metabolic rate will also show you, and then as a slimmer or heavier person. But when you do this abnormalities in thyroidal gland function, we have to understand that it is not a problem actually until it starts expressing itself differently. And as any other part of the body, when the cells are in trouble, they get polluted. And when they are polluted, they get acidic. When they are acidic, they create inflammation.
Oh, we've lost his connection for a moment there. He's in the Caribbean. Oh, Darko, you popped back on. You can't be astral traveling during a show.
It's that chicken, Darko. It's doing your bloody cable.
It knows sleep is coming.
Well, at least recovery here, faster, you know.
That was fast. So, yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. So what happened is that when we are talking about thyroid gland, this is reflected. For example, a lot of people, you see the gout, they have the increased portion of the neck, like a bump in the neck that can, and right away you can tell, well, they have a problem with thyroid gland, because this is where thyroid gland is located. Actually, it's going through vocal cords as well, through your voice box. And this is why it can never be completely taken out. So even when people have surgically it removed, they still have remnants of it in place. But very often what happens is not only that neck gets swollen, but also the eyes start bulging. And by bulging, or again, it's an inflammatory process, what happened that they lose ability to focus, because one eye starts looking this way and one starts looking this way. You cannot focus them anymore. So very often doctors will put patch over one eye So this way you only use, because that strains the brain, that strains the muscle, that gives you headaches. So they give you patch. Now, solution in the medical field, as we know it, is basically to check the blood and see, okay, you are missing this and this hormone, which means your thyroid gland is not working properly. And here, boom, here is substitute. So they give you this hormone and they say, you are fine, go ahead. Well, nobody really goes and checks why is this problem happening and how to solve the situation. So your thyroid gland starts working again as it should be working. But through all the other programs, and we are at it already for a year or so, and every time we are being stopped by the same problem, which we see that allopathic medicine, that the doctors that come from medical schools basically have no clue that there is something on a cellular level that creates a problem. They just go by the symptom and how to either suppress or how to...
There he's gone into the cosmos again. Darko. Well, let's pop over to you, Jeremy, because I came up with a couple of questions while we were listening to the things that Darko was sharing. And I want to understand and share with the listeners some of the ways he's mentioned, you know, we've talked about toxicity and these things that are just bogging down our systems. Talk to me about some of the outer influences that are in our environment that we might not recognize that are influencing this assault on our thyroid gland and the endocrine sort of systems. Like, for instance, are there some particular items that you could point out to say this has a direct correlation to X, Y, and Z? So help us with understanding what's going on from the outside that's bombarding these systems and causing this imbalance, Jeremy.
Yeah, well, that chicken's got a lot to answer for, Darko. I'm sorry you're having chicken problems or technical problems, whichever it has to be. But a great intro, and of course, everything he was saying was I agree with. And I think probably if you go anywhere and look around, people are going to have a thyroid problem that is not recognized. I think it's probably one of the biggest underlying causes of dis-ease that is missed and then mistreated from the get-go, and there are a number of screaming reasons that we tend to address when people come to us. But and Clive, I'm sure, will expand on this brilliantly a little later on. But the first one with the thyroid, which is usually the case, is is a massive iodine deficiency. Most people are very, very low in iodine now, deliberately so, I would suggest, because it's often called the IQ nutrient. Very much affects your ability to think and to learn and to critically think. So it's a very, very deliberate, and probably the main reasons why we're iodine deficient, other than it not being in the diet anymore, except for it in places like Japan, where they eat a lot of sushi and seaweed and sea-based foods, where it's rich in iodine, and they have a fraction of the problems that the so-called Westerners do. But the main thing is all these chlorines and bromines and the other halogens. This ranges from anything from the municipal swimming pools, where they're still using these terrible, terrible, terrible things. We had a boy, in fact, his family refused to... my help, actually, but it's his grandfather that approached me that developed out of the blue a brain tumor. The first signs were seizures and things. And when I just had a quick cursory speak with his grandfather, it turned out that his mother was working at the municipal pool as a lifeguard or something, and this boy every day after school would be there for 2 hours in this chlorine pool. And I said to him right there and then, I can bet your bottom dollar this chlorine is going to be majorly involved in this, and his thyroid's going to be completely out of kilter. And so that's an extreme level of it. But anything that's white, you know, the naturopath will say, stop eating anything that's white. And it's not because it's white, because it never was white. It's being bleached or using bromine. Any processed food has bleach in it now because they bleach to clean the equipment. So these other halogens, the toothpaste, fluoride, they are totally ignored by the public usually because they seem so innocent. I mean, after all, fluoride is promulgated still to the unthinking mass on these subjects that it's there to strengthen your teeth, where it couldn't be further from the truth. If in actual fact, it weakens the teeth, let alone all the rest of it does, and affects the critical thinking very much so, as it's well documented in the Nuremberg trials, that the Nazis put fluoride in the concentration camps because it dumbed them down and stopped their critical thinking and made them more subservient. So iodine is absolutely huge in this, and I'll let Clive speak more upon that later on. The next things, as far as I'm concerned, which is also missed and an increasing problem, is we in the old days, posture was very important. We see these old black and white videos of people, you know, I must increase my bust and all this stuff, and standing upright and walking properly. And from an osteopathic or chiropractic point of view, we're looking to see if the ear, the shoulder, and hip are in alignment, and they're not, because we've basically become very much leaning forward, mostly because we're looking at these bloody things to see who's posted on Facebook or how good we are or how funny a dog can do something, whatever, you know. But we're looking down, we're down, sitting down, we're typing down, and we're actually crushing the thyroid continually. Now, as we've spoken about many times, and this is the core of my work at least, is that the body, you have life because of fluid flowing. And whenever there is dis-ease at the physical level, although mental emotional has usually begun that, because mental emotional stress contracts people at whatever level. I've just finished with a wonderful woman with breast cancer that's a prime example of that, and I'll maybe share that another day. But anyway, there is a stagnation in the movement of fluids, particularly at capillary level. And so as soon as you start to restrict the life flow of the fluids, those cells become undernourished, under-oxygenated, and equally they have difficulty releasing their toxins, naturally occurring and unnaturally occurring. And so you get this stagnation. And as far as I'm concerned, almost all of the so-called sicknesses is the body throwing up inflammation to try and remedy this, and medicine's got it the wrong way around and try and stop everything around that. So all my clients, no matter what they come to see me, I usually adjust at level C7, which is very much to do with the nervous and blood supply to the thyroid. And you just see them stand up afterwards and they just go, oh my God, I feel so much lighter. And I said, what you're feeling is the flow of blood and other things moving, maybe for the first time. And so I think in thyroids, yes, it can be treated nutritionally and everything that we talk about. But I really think that the posture and the physical restrictions in the body is very critical to be looked at. And if you follow that to maybe a higher, deeper level, this is the throat, the voice box. And it's very much to do with the fifth chakra, and it's very much to do with expressing. Now, I believe most people would not like to be called a liar. In fact, I'm pretty damn sure most people would get very upset. But the truth is, we're talking bullshit all day long, most of us in this world. We're not living in our truth. We have learned to become subservient in a professional way rather than, I mean, I know you guys, Clive and Darko, must have had this, but when we get clients, you know, and you open them up, they'll tell you how much their boss is pissing them off, or the people they work with, or their wife, or their husband, or whatever it is, you know, it's a plethora of it. And they're not saying it. You know, they're very often trying to spin it into positive, because that's a good thing, positive, but not if it's not true. And so there's an enormous amount of either expressing that isn't truly going on, false positives, And then, of course, you've got the other extreme where there's people that are just nasty bastards that are constantly got horrible things coming out. But this is very much to do with expressing oneself, good, bad, and indifferent. And we tend to live in a world where that's frowned upon, whereas we need to find ways to express ourselves again in truth and just go, well, that's interesting, and let it out and let it go. And I think there's huge amounts of that, particularly in women still. I know it. Women want to think that they're liberated and stuff, but I don't believe it's true. Not from my experience. I still think they hold an awful lot in. I think there's an awful lot of personas that they feel they need to hold out there, and it's ever prevalent. So I don't think that can be missed. And finally, I wanted to just add Barbara Wren's work, one of my great mentors, is all about what's called the tubercular miasm or the tubercular taint, which is not a disease as most understand it. But what it is a thumbnail sketch of calcium. And it's often described that when TB was prevalent in places like Ireland during the famine, that these people were historically recorded as eating lime, which is calcium, off of the walls. So they were trying to get this calcium because the calcium is misplaced. Now, the thyroid, Barbara will talk about the tubercular block, and it's literally a block from the body and the mind. We see this very much in anorexia. You know, the brain is not connecting with the body. And when we talk to a lot of people, they're very disconnected from their bodies. They're very much up here, and it's all up here, and they're disconnected, and it's this block here. Well, the thyroid, one of the things it produces calcitonin, which is to be able to regulate the blood calcium. And so it all ties in with that picture. And this is where I caution people, even great natural people trying to do great natural things, that we must be very aware that we're not becoming allopathic natural doctors and just prescribing, and understand the whole picture. If there is a bigger picture to be understood, if it's just simply iodine deficiency and what have you, then so be it. But I maintain, and I will continue to maintain, that, you know, all of this is connected, and that we are here for a reason, and it isn't just to become successful and have a big bank account and pay our taxes on time. It is far more important than that, and I believe, and I will continue to believe, particularly on my own experience, that we all have a purpose, and that disease at all levels is a blessing in disguise there to teach us not just to be treated naturally, otherwise there's something to be learned and to be released and to grow, to become enlightened. And all of this eventually is about bringing, as far as I am concerned, light into this physical manifestation that we are. So I hopefully that helps, and I'm very interested to hear what young Carl has to say on it with his several sweaters on in cold damp.
Absolutely. And again, I so appreciate that you lay out all of these dots, but you connect them, you join them nicely to create a full picture so people can realize the importance, again, of that holistic approach, the, you know, sorting out the mind, the body, and the spirit, because without which not, you know, you clean out one layer of junk, the rest will fall down upon it if you haven't kind of, you know, eradicated the whole thing at its very core. Now, Clive, I am coming to you because I know that in this conversation was mentioned the use of synthetic hormones, Darko mentioned, is sometimes given to the client to address these situations. And I would love to hear from you, what are in these synthetic hormones? What should we be cautionary about? Should we further explore, A, to understand what we're being given, and B, the give us the corollary of that, the flip side of what sorts of natural remedies, supplements, superfoods, and the like could be used or have you found efficacious in sorting out this very same dis-ease or imbalance within the human system?
Well, thank you. The big problem is that the medical profession tends to use patented drugs, which have very limited effects compared to taking a natural compound. You know, prior to levothyroxine being prescribed for instance, low thyroid, they used to actually take the thyroid of an animal and dry it and grind it up and give 1, 2, or 3 grains of that, which was a perfectly balanced natural hormonal approach to the problem. But these days, as Jeremy has rightly pointed out, the big problem really is chlorine and fluoride. And it's very important to realize what can neutralize chlorine and fluoride so people don't get a thyroid issue happening in the first place. And the most important thing to realize is you can filter out chlorine from the water pretty easily, or you could add vitamin C to it in the form of ascorbic acid, say, or sodium ascorbate, and that would neutralize the vitamin C, whether it's in your bath or in your drinking water. And similarly, by using borax, in both cases, one could use a teaspoonful in the bath to neutralize fluoride with borax, and a pinch in a liter of water to neutralize fluoride in your drinking water. So those two actions will hopefully stop future generations from getting these ridiculous thyroid problems, which are epidemic in around the world. Now, vitamin C neutralizing chlorine, it stands to reason that most people are low on vitamin C because they're not able to naturally use it. And I think it's true to say that most people have got a mild case of scurvy going on and they don't actually realize it. Vitamin C is absolutely crucial for the thyroid, as it is for every cell in the body, as it is for every part of the body, particularly the heart. So many important issues. And, you know, an animal of our sort of size might make their own vitamin C to the tune of 8 or 10 grams a day. And I would recommend that anybody considers supplementing with vitamin C on that sort of level, build up slowly, start with a couple of grams and work up. But it's important to know that every virus can be eliminated with vitamin C. And just recently I learned from Dr. Andrew Saul that you can eradicate symptoms of pneumonia in 3 hours by giving 2 grams of vitamin C every 6 minutes, which clearly is a huge amount. Now, there are a couple of cofactors that go with vitamin C. One's L-lysine, and L-lysine would be something that traditionally, for quite some time now, would have been given for hyperthyroidism, as would CoQ10. CoQ10 works in conjunction to some degree with vitamin C and is a very important coenzyme to be used with hyperthyroidism. Another one that's absolutely vital is magnesium, because we're not going to have a properly functioning thyroid without magnesium. And similarly, there are other elements like selenium, which again are very, very important to overcome a thyroid issue. And selenium, of course, is important whether it's low thyroid or high thyroid problems, because it enables the iodine to work properly. So anybody supplementing with iodine, it's very important to also supplement with selenium at the same time. And then there are the usual regulars, good quality salt, such as Celtic salt, and alkalizing the body, you know, taking a teaspoonful of apple cider vinegar with water before a meal would be an excellent, easy way to alkalize, as would squeezing a lemon or a lime into a glass of water and drinking that first thing in the morning, for example. Although this is something I don't do myself, some people who really want to alkalize and, you know, have a serious issue to overcome might take half a teaspoonful of bicarbonate of soda in a glass of water before bed so that they're well alkalized overnight. So, you know, there are many
other things. Can I ask a question? Can I ask one question?
Go ahead, Jeremy.
I recently caught part of that interview with 2 grams of vitamin C every 6 minutes, but don't the bowels just open up and end up on the toilet? But how do they get that amount into them without sort of ending up on the loo?
Well, you know, if you have already built up to, say, taking 10 grams a day, you might well be able to get away with it, because you could, you've just got to build it up slowly. So you could start taking 2 grams every 6 minutes. If you got about an unexpected bowel movement as a result, then back, keep doing it every 6 minutes or so, but just back off a little bit. I'm afraid it is a bit of trial and error, because nobody knows when bowel tolerance is going to be reached, unfortunately. there is that risk. But pneumonia is a dangerous thing, but better to risk a bowel movement than pneumonia.
For sure. Thanks.
I have a couple of questions based on what you were saying just before we move forward, Clive. You mentioned about the things that you should be cautionary about with the vitamin C. You said it's sort of trial and error. One of the questions is, you said combining that, getting it from like putting the citrus in water is one way. Is there enough citrus that one can eat to provide the large doses that we would want to have in our system to address that is the first part. And second, are there any food combinations that maybe we shouldn't mix when we're intaking vitamin C or ascorbic acid? Are there some things we should be wary about mixing together in dosing that way?
Right. I've found in my own experience that vitamin C really is rather good because it will happily mix with other things. You can put it in a juice, for instance. You know, it's in so many foods. So trying to get enough naturally very much depends on the quality of the food you're buying. You know, if you've got really good, naturally grown, organic type fruits and vegetables, hopefully there's lots of vitamin C in there. Really depends, again, on how fresh it is. The vitamin C in fresh food tends to deteriorate rapidly. You know, I've heard, I haven't actually proved it, but I've heard figures like the vitamin C content is cut in half within 24 hours. I've heard other people say it's cut in half within about 1 hour of actually picking it.
So from what you've discovered, it would the citrus family of fruits be the highest sources, or is there something else that maybe we aren't aware of that has a much higher, like, you know, is it maybe pomegranates or acai berries, or is there some other kind of thing, or is it normally the citrus family of food products or food items rather that have the greatest amounts of vitamin C, say if it was actually a live food? I don't mean the things we get in the market.
There are a number of foods that have a much higher content. I mean, a supplement that I like to take myself for vitamin C is camu-camu. You know, camu-camu is a berry grown in South America, and I think it has the highest vitamin C content of any food that I've come across, or at least ones that are palatable. And it tastes quite nice, and you can mix it with water and drink it. And I've read that vitamin C that is from a natural source lasts a lot longer in the body than taking the synthetic vitamin C's like ascorbic acid. Interestingly, there's a lot of publicity going about saying that ascorbic acid doesn't work on you know, this is on the net, and it's being put out, I think, by the pharmaceutical industry, because ascorbic acid does work incredibly well. But at the moment, it's being slated. People are saying, oh, well, you've got to have fresh vitamin C, you know, from foods, because that's the only way that works. But this is just disinformation. You know, I think vitamin C is the probably the most important of all the vitamins you could possibly take. You know, just absolutely magical.
As part of a lifestyle then. Now we hear a lot of times, at least I hear the term about the in the circles when we're having conversations relating to health and the topic of vitamin C comes up, I hear the term liposomal vitamin C. What does that mean, and what should we know about that?
Anything that's been liposomally coated means it's been covered in fat. And with vitamin C, because it's attacked in the stomach, if you can bypass the stomach and let it release lower down, which a liposomally coated vitamin C does, then you can take 1 gram, but it'll have the effectiveness of perhaps 8 or 9 grams. Now, there are a number of sites on the net explaining how to make your own liposomal vitamin C. And previously, I've been recommending that and actually tried it myself and so on. But I was at a meeting about 2 months ago with Dr. Thomas Levy, who is perhaps the most foremost of the American experts on vitamin C. And he was saying that they've just done tests with Livon Laboratories, who make liposomal vitamin C. I think they were the first to do it. And their results show that all the other liposomals, apart from their own, have virtually no liposomes in it. So I've got no reason to doubt this information because Thomas Levy is a genius. So at the moment, one has to say, well, probably live on labs are the place to get liposomal. And if one had a serious issue, you know, a life-threatening tumor, you want to shrink right away or something very serious, perhaps liposomal would be the ideal way to get a lot into you very quickly without so much of a risk of a stomach upset.
Would you spell the name of the labs? You said live on, or can you spell that?
Just yeah, L-I-V. It's L-I-V-O-N.
Thank you. That was really for me. Absolutely wonderful. Now I want to go over to you, Darko, because now that we've kind of understood what the explanation of what's going on in the body internally, we've got a glimpse at how it's actually affecting us on many different levels of, you know, the mind, the body, the emotional, all of this kind of stuff. We've understood how it can be approached in other modalities that are more natural than the prescriptive route that we're so used to. Let's give a little bit of information to the listeners and the viewers about what sort of symptoms might we be experiencing that we would need to take note of that, you know, might be giving us indication that something is wrong or out of whack or not working properly in the thyroid sort of area. What might be happening to us, like symptoms speaking?
Well, after this walking encyclopedia that just took us through the supplement, well, let's see how, you know, there is not one particular thing that you can say, okay, you have this symptom and this is thyroid, okay? Because we are talking here about a metabolism, a rate of metabolism. By the way, you know, if you feel lethargic, if you feel all the time tired, if you feel not interested in what is happening around you, these are very good signs that probably something with your metabolism, okay, and the thyroid is one of the things that is involved right in there. Another thing is, again, as I said, gaining weight or not being able to gain weight, or how much you eat. So, okay, this may be a problem. So these are the biggest problems, of course, unless you start showing a bulge on your neck or bulging of the eyes, which very often in people, maybe not even thyroid, but bulging eyes, you know, so it is the same thing.
You mean the goiter thing, like the people?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be on one side, could be in the center, could be on both sides, or some may not be right here. Sometimes your eyes start bulging. You just see people that have bulging eyes, and this could be indication. But these are inflammatory processes.
Oh, Darko's, but the chicken got him, Jeremy. He lost.
That's one pesky chicken, man. I've never. It's aggressive, and it needs to be taken out, Darko.
I don't know who's winning, the chicken or Darko. Are you okay?
Well, this is amazing. I get these quick. One day, I'm going to call you, invite you here for.
He will make like chicken jerky. Look, the chicken heard you. Now he's gone again. While we're trying to get sorted out with Darko, Jeremy, could you pick up kind of where he was sharing with us on the manifestations outwardly of an imbalance going on or something's out of whack with the thyroid?
Yes, but don't you love working with professionals?
I do, especially your sort.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was just looking up. Look, I recommend everyone to get this wonderful book. I don't know if you can see that. It's called Moon Time. The cover's got several different covers. Moon Time by, I never can pronounce the name, Johanna Porga and Thomas Popp. I probably pronounced that wrong.
Oh, okay. Again, you showed it. Good.
And this really is the art of medicine because, I mean, Darko rightfully began in, you know, all these things, bulging eyes and what have you, but I can't stress enough getting rid of the chlorinated, bromated foods. I can't stress enough not getting into chlorine and getting rid of your fluoride toothpaste. This is going to go a tremendous way to changing things. But I think two things I really want to add to this by just focusing on the thyroid. Why I mentioned this book is this is ancient wisdom. It's not hairy fair. It's written by brilliant people. Many of the older people in the Caribbean are already aware of a lot of this knowledge about when to plant and when to harvest. The fishermen very acutely aware of the power of the moon and its significance. Now, the moon through a 28-day lunar cycle, this is really to do with the art of applying this knowledge of what to take and when, and especially if you're in the hands of legalized drug pushers and surgically trained butchers, it's very important that you know your dates. Because if you're going to have any of those treatments, it can be absolutely catastrophic. So the moon starts in Aries, and I can hear listeners now, oh my God, he's talking about zodiac signs. We liked him till now, and now he's going to tell me I'm going to meet a tall, kind man. No, the real astrology has an influence on every part of the body. It works from the top down. In fact, the great artist, I believe, was it Leonardo da Vinci that did the Last Supper? I think it's Leonardo da Vinci. Anyway, the Last Supper with Jesus in the center, which is the sun, by the way. It always has been the sun of God, the sun, S-U-N, and the six apostles, which are the six zodiac signs. And if you go on Google Leonardo, I think, is it Leonardo da Vinci?
Well, yeah, astrotheology is what, yeah.
Okay, which I love astrotheology. But if people go and have a good look at astrotheology, particularly, I'm hoping sometime Sananto Bonacci will actually talk with me. But anyway.
We can arrange that. He's coming on.
Yeah, well, I briefly spoke to him once, but he's an absolute hero of mine. And yeah, anyway. But when you look at the art, the different positions of the apostles are showing the classic signs of the zodiac, and that's what it is. It's the zodiac signs with the sun in the center, and of course we're moving into Aquarius, which is why in the Bible when they said, "How will we know it's you when you come back?" and he says, "Follow the water carrier into my house," which of course in those days women carried water, as they probably should still do, but everything's wrong now, unless men have to pitch in. But anyway, I'm doing that just for you, okay? Anyway, Matt is follow the water carrier into my house. It's clear to the Aquarius, which is where the sun is now moved. But what is very significant is every day I look at this book because I know what's going to be coming into my clinic, what's going to be, or I should say, I'm more likely to know. And I also know what to do and what maybe not to do today and put off to maybe in a few days' time. Because when the moon moves into Taurus, which is this area, it's to do with the thyroid. And the basic laws, and they are very basic. I mean, it's a great book. I think you'll love it, everybody. But the basic laws are when the moon is full and getting smaller and it's waning, the body is generally detoxifying. And so these are great times to use blood cleansing techniques and all kind of techniques and herbs and fasting to purge the body. So if you have a very toxic thyroid cancer or something like that, to fast when the moon is in Taurus and it has the calendars in the back here. You see that'll have calendars, and you can't really see that, but it'll show you where the moon is. And I'm sure there's stuff online, you know. But to fast on a day when the moon is in Taurus is going to help your thyroid tremendously, okay? And then as the moon's getting larger with the peak being on the full moon, to take iodine on a full moon in Taurus is phenomenally more going to go in and any real healing medication. Now, conversely, if you're going to be irradiated, which is what they do with these thyroids, which is unforgivable, on a moon, full moon or becoming full moon through Taurus, you're very likely to get in tremendous trouble. If you have an operation, and if a surgeon was open enough to talk to us, they will say that when they do these routine operations, every month they will have operations that go wrong. They don't stop bleeding or complications, and I've said it many times, and they have no idea because for them it's routine. not that surgery should be routine, and you almost guarantee that they've been operating when the moon is waxing, particularly on the full moon or thereabouts. If you operate on a full moon, on Taurus, on the thyroid or on the throat area, you're going to be very much going to get in trouble, almost guaranteed, and maybe even the ultimate lose your life. These simple knowledge could, A, which is our first job, prevent someone listening. Even right now, someone might be going, holy crap, my mother is going to have irradiation that day or something like that, you know. And just this knowledge can prevent people from doing very, very great harm. The only other thing I wanted to really add is with the weight gain issue, you'll find a fair few women, the iodine and things won't really start to do what it should do. And you'll normally find that it's to do with their ovaries, and they've either had a full hysterectomy and the ovaries removed, or the ovaries are very unwell, very clogged, and again we have to treat them systemically. But most people will respond incredibly well to the iodine. But we must remember, it's the first thing we should be doing, in my opinion, is to remove as much as we can the known aggravant, the known toxin. So to keep brushing your teeth three times a day with fluoride toothpaste, to keep swimming in your local pool, to you know, whatever it is,
the bleached foods
and so on, and then expect, I mean, iodine is going to help, you know, when these things are going to help, but it's kind of like, you know, not really the way. And so as always, we need to try and keep this as Carl Beautiful, I like this, what Carl says, actually, if we look back 100 years ago and really look at what our ancestors were eating, they weren't stupid, just like wild animals aren't stupid. You know, they had it pretty much right. And my final thing, I think, is remember it's seasonal, because there's so much on the internet about this diet and that diet. You really need to match the food to the climate you're in. And if you're in the Northern Hemisphere in winter, you need to be cooking, slow cooking your food, normally with the pot on. You need to match the vibration. You know, it's you can't be raw, in my view. All the way through a winter, it just doesn't match, and it sends the very wrong. You can't be eating tropical pineapples in midwinter in the Northern Hemisphere, because vibrationally it's very, very different. Now, I know a lot of people will go, well, hey, I'm juicing, I feel great. But ultimately, if what this show is about, it is about really expanding consciousness and trying to redirect humanity back into the light, into the truth, into consciousness, so that we all arrive back in a time where we find again our foundation. And within that, there won't be all this deceit. There won't be all this bullshit. And therefore, we wouldn't be working with careers. We would be doing what our hearts dictate. And we would be a totally different being. We would be, once, maybe for the first time in a very long time, we would have again become human beings and not human doings. And so I appreciate the walking encyclopedia genius that Carl is. I appreciate Darko and his suicidal or toxic chicken in the background, and appreciate everybody. But for me, we cannot remove this, that we have deliberately been societally steered down a path that we should never have been in. And so disease must be part of awakening in a consciousness and moving back to the light and really seeing that, oh my God, what do you mean they're putting chlorine in pools? And it's got to be, oh my God, not, oh, it's just bad. It's got to be, what? That's got to go off. So we get rid of the shit. Chemotherapy, when people wake up and they realize what they've done to their loved ones with fear and maybe intent to help, but we have to wake them up. So we go, what the fuck were we doing? Because that's ultimately what everything has been done to us, is to stop us thinking, to keep us in busyness, sick and tired, and to stop reproducing and stop communicating, divide us. That, I believe, is the ultimate role of any teacher and doctor, to help the consciousness back on the path where we again start becoming human beings and not human doings. Even if we're healthy human doings, we need to become human beings.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, this is definitely where I agree with you 100%. You see, before anything, my stand is always detox. Before you do anything, because idea if you have something, if you have enough of it, or you have too much of it. Because as problems can occur because you are missing some ingredients, even worse problem may happen if you have too many of them. Let's take in consideration vitamin D. If you don't have enough of it, you'll have a problem with calcium. You will have problem with many hormonal things in your body because, let's face it, vitamin D or hormone D is crucial. If you elevate it to higher ranges, which is over 100 nanograms per milliliter, what happens that you are going into a sphere where miraculous things are happening. So we say you are in the medicinal zone, okay? Medicinal effect. Again, medicinal effect is always toxic effect that helps in this particular situation because it does interfere with some chemical reactions. But then you make that little step where you oversaturate it and you actually can kill a human being by having too much vitamin D. Also, if you leave it in medicinal levels for too long, what is going to happen? You are going to have sedimentation of calcium in places where it should not be sedimented. So you actually create a problem. And you always create problem with anything that is medicinal if you use it incorrectly or use it when it's not necessary. This is why I always say before anything, sorry about my neighbors.
Did the chicken recruit a monkey? I'm like, what? Jeremy's incorrigible. I love it.
So anyway, it's always the best thing before you do anything, detox. And detox is always standard. Detoxing your body, all it requires actually is sea salt and water and energy. And this is cheap way to do things. You cannot harm yourself. The only thing is that you may be by surprise because even when we think that we are perfectly healthy and nothing is problem with our body, you will be surprised how much toxins are you going to start throwing up once when you hydrate properly and allow your cleansing mechanism to go in full gear. It is really amazing, and people actually get scared when this happens.
And off he went. I have a question, though, while we're waiting to see if Darko gets back on. I think he's entering.
Yeah, I'm beginning.
Oh, okay, there you are. Go ahead, carry on.
Okay, because I want to take opportunity also. Something I'm asked very often, and people do not believe me until they tried, if they have courage to do so. A lot of people went through surgery where their thyroid gland is being removed. Well, then they are put on artificial hormones, and they are being told that this is unavoidable. There is nothing that can be done. Thyroid gland is gone. There is nothing that can replace it. Well, it is not true. Okay. And so far, I had only four cases that actually my clients decided to give it a try, and they were all four of them stopped using the supplements, and actually they recovered. Okay, wow. So we can recover from it because they cannot cut it all out because it goes through our voice box. So it cannot be removed. And it will rebuild because we do have stem cells, what we call now mother cells, because we start cashing them in. So we can stimulate them to resume the work. Not only in this case, but also I had big success in restarting a production of estrogens in women that had hysterectomy. So also taking them off the artificial hormones and restoring their full action simply by body receiving the message that it is needed and dedicating a stem cell to take over the responsibility and rebuilding the necessity, the capacity that are necessary to produce the adequate hormones.
Wow, so it's just kind of like reminding the system to function again, or allowing it to. I have a question, because this show was inspired by one of our viewers who has a family member who has thyroid disease, in which like she's failed to thrive. Like she's, for her age, I believe she's late 20s. She looks to be 12 years old or so, very small, very underdeveloped. In this sort of a situation, is this something that we could address with these modalities that we've shared today?
Well, this could be a lot of different things involved in this. Okay, it's anomaly. But most anomalies are being triggered from circumstance or frequencies being affected the genetic pool, and it comes from the environment. So I believe that we can always influence it, and we can help the genes to start working better by number one, cleansing. And number one, introducing the necessary vibrations. How far we can actually go in some of these problems, it's questionable, but definitely is beneficial. There will be some benefit and some progress. I had experience in a small boy having a problem of calcification of the whole body. Was 4 years old, could not even lift the head, was basically calcified. Of course, being treated by those who know nothing about how to treat was not helping the situation. After already 2 days of detox and introducing, of course, electrical currents, because in this case it's quite necessary, the child started moving head, first time in life. Okay, so this body will respond very, very quickly, only if it gives an opportunity to do so. And number one is stop poisoning. And here is again what Jeremy says: we have to be careful, because there are poisons everywhere around us. They are in the water, especially when we go talk now about thyroid gland. You know, this fluoride, anything that will take a space of iodine and hook itself to receptor of iodine is going to cause problem. What I have just noticed first time now, I have one interesting case where a young boy tried to put Lugol iodine on a skin, made the 3 marks to see how long they will stay, and they were there 24 hours and they start slowly fading. So he starts supplementing. A week later, when he tried the test again, they disappeared within 2 hours. Okay, so this tells you that even when iodine receptors are blocking the spaces for iodine, so the organs cannot do proper function, as soon as you make iodine available, it is going to start kicking them out and replacing them. And actually, then it will start absorbing way more iodine than it was absorbing before. Same is happening with water. If I would say 90% of humanity does not drink enough water, because we don't know what it means to drink enough water. More toxic food you have, more toxic environment you are in, the more water and sea salt you need, period. Okay, so you cannot say, well, over there in Kalahari Desert, the little people, they drink 2 drops of water and they are fine. Yes, but also they don't have any contact with pollution. The toxicity amount is way, way less than it's in someone who lives in New York or in London. So we have to have these things in consideration. But everyone can try this. Once when you started drinking water with a little bit of sea salt, okay, basically for 1 liter of water, you can put half teaspoon, which is great. You can put quarter teaspoon, which is okay. And as it dilutes, drink it, and you will see first few days, you'll have even problem of getting it down. You're not used to get water, whatever. But as soon as body starts realizing that water is here and start utilizing it for cleansing, all of a sudden you get such a thirst that you are going to be looking from one place to another, where can I get some more water to drink? Okay, so right. And this is, you know, people when they start with cleansing, oh, I cannot drink so much water. Yeah, first 2-3 days, talk to me later and you will see, you know, everybody shifts. Same I noticed now with iodine. I didn't know that before. Okay, this to me is a new knowledge. Maybe you guys, maybe Jeremy knows it, maybe Clive knows it. I first time that I've seen this, that actually first time it stayed there, iodine was not being absorbed much, slow. And then as the young boy starts supplementing, all of a sudden it's grabbing and absorbing this iodine like crazy. And this tells you how great deficiency of iodine is. And this, another thing to mention, this young man lives on a seashore where there should be plenty iodine because the sea salt and seawater are full of it. But because of chlorinated water, because of fluoride in the toothpaste, and now being put in water, bromines and all that stuff being used, this fills in the receptors. And then if there is still deficiency of iodine, then even the small amount of iodine that is there cannot replace properly already the busy receptors in the body. And of course, disease is created. Cells cannot function like this.
Absolutely. And it, again, you're connecting these dots where we're creating the environment where these sorts of imbalances are able to flourish. Jeremy, I know I saw your eyebrows raise when I mentioned that just a little bit that I had about the listener who had the family member who's having these issues that are diagnosed as or being told to her that she has thyroid disease. And as I said, it's also failure to thrive. Give us your insights on your what you'd like to share as far as that, just that little bit of information has been put forward. What are your ideas?
Well, this is where I say, you know, the case history is very, very critical. And you know, I'd kind of love to take her case history. But one of the things or several things that would absolutely scream at me to find out is, one, I just know she's going to be iodine deficient, and hugely so. Huge hypothyroidism, I'm predicting. And if you take that to its extreme, the not very politically correct term is cretinism. And when you look at the very, very iodine deficient hypothyroid cretin, as they were labeled, cases, they're normally very much smaller people, and normally their heads have a distinctive shape, looking more Neanderthal is about the only way I could describe it, and not quote unquote normal, if you forgive those terms. But so these things would be critical within a case history to understand what's happened. The other thing that would be very, very interesting to me is you can, if you go on the internet, you can find tooth organ charts, dental tooth organ charts, because the teeth, as we've discussed before, are critically involved in your entire health. And in the case of the thyroid, it's the first and arguably the second molar on each side of the upper part of your teeth. And so one of the things I would like to know is whether this, I think it was a young woman you said, whether she has had any dentistry. My money is probably yes. And if she hasn't had dentistry, then she may well have a dental issue there, but I'm pretty sure there's gonna be some dentistry involved in that. And then the other ones that I would be very keen to find out is what geographical location she's living in. Particularly, is she in a city? Is her bed next to Wi-Fi and plug sockets and God knows what else? Does she sleep with a mobile phone on her chest? I mean, it's very common now for these women to be putting mobile phones down their bras and things. But you know, all these things are very important. Is she underneath power lines? And we've seen this before. I've seen it in a girl in New Zealand that was very subnormal, would be the term, looked subnormal. And she was directly under power lines in her bedroom. They cut straight across her bedroom main house. And these were, and she used to actually naturally get up and go and sleep in the lounge. And of course, they do what good parents do, and they go get her and bring her back and put her in the room. And they get up in the morning, and she's down in the lounge on the couch again. And so something instinctive in her was to move from that place. And you know, we can then even go further to see if there's any ley lines or streams or all kinds of energetic things going on that are disrupting her. But these questions, you know, I talk about the case history all the time. There is, when you take a case history, literally a story unfolds, and you may need to go into pregnancy. You know, the mother may have had dentistry while she was pregnant, or a filling fell out, or something like that. A lot of women do have dentistry when they're pregnant, I believe, in the UK, because I think they get it free, but I might be wrong on that. But you know,
this is the same.
Right, okay, so... So, you know, once you take the case history, usually, in my experience, much, if not all, is revealed. And then we understand what we're dealing with. So then we can start to put into place a protocol and treatments. And if we're correct, things will start to change. And if they don't, either we've missed something or they're not doing it, or there's something more serious going on. But in my broad experience now, every time I do the case history, we normally find the smoking guns, the red flags, and you know, we know where we are and what caused it. Then we can apply the Herring's Law of Cure protocols based on logic that we understand, the laws of nature and the moon and those powers, and Bob's your auntie, and away we go. So I think these things are... Well, in my family, at least Bob was my auntie, but we don't judge
that's
him.
That's another show, yeah.
We don't judge him for that. Love you, Bob. But he had great thighs. Anyway, so you know, I continue to remind you this is wonderful, and I learn every time I come on this show, I learn things. I feel incredibly lucky that I was invited on, and I sit here sometimes more as a student, I think. But we need to fit it all into that, and the case history for me is critical. And I'd love to have the opportunity maybe to take that girl's case history, and we'll see what we find.
Absolutely, thank you. I appreciate that, and I'll absolutely forward your invitation and your offer. I know Clive is chomping at the bit. Give us your impressions, your inspirations for this conversation thread that we're having right now. What are you coming up with, Clive?
Well, there are some other causes that are worth considering. One of them is that you know, the glands don't work in isolation. So, you know, certainly anybody with a thyroid problem is likely to be having an adrenal problem as well, and all the other glands are likely to be affected. And there are reasons why this can happen, apart from just sheer exhaustion and so on, you know, other than just being minerally deficient. One of them could be black mold. If you've got black mold growing in your house or a fungal infection, this can lead to a hyperthyroid condition.
Clive fell off. I'm sure he'll pop back on in just a moment. But this is absolutely thrilling conversation. I've got so many pages of notes going here.
Clive lives in the country. Does anyone know if he has chickens?
He lives in London. There's no reason why he doesn't have a good internet
connection. I've seen his house. He's in the country. I reckon he's got chickens. There is a you've seen Chicken Run? I'm telling you, I'm not paranoid. Those chickens are planning.
I think you are paranoid, you know, I really do. Because Darko's chicken, it's his pet. It keeps his dogs company. Right, Darko? You're not going to eat him, are you?
Well, I cannot catch him. That's his luck.
Oh, gosh. Because it would be chicken jerky, right? Clive is back. Yay! Okay, carry on before we lose you again.
Thank you. There's another cause of hypothyroidism, which can be parasites. Parasites, one of those things that you're not...
Yeah, like you mean like gut flora parasites, like things are in your tummy, or do you mean parasites, something from the outside, like, you know, like Lyme disease cause it? Like, tell us what kind of parasites, bloodborne?
Well, I'm not an expert actually in what types of parasites. I'm only aware that there are parasites that will cause hypothermia. So I can't answer that. I expect the others probably can more. If somebody with hypothyroidism is overweight, then they should be looking at whether they're chromium deficient. In fact, anybody who's overweight or anybody with type 2 diabetes should consider, are they chromium deficient? There's a very good chance that they would be. I'd like to mention, going back in time a bit, what would have been done in the past. You know, in the past, you probably would have gone to your herbalist if you had a thyroid issue. And, you know, since, 200 years ago or 150 years ago, doctors were using iodine as a remedy for both hypo and hyperthyroidism, but in a totally different league of a dosage that they are now. You know, the average doctor here in the UK would say that micrograms of iodine would be appropriate. But 100 years ago, half a gram of iodine, even more, maybe even a gram of iodine wouldn't be considered too much. That wouldn't be something you'd want to do for a long period of time. But to remedy a very serious situation quickly, one can go for doses that are literally thousands of times higher than the doctor might have been taught was normal. But a doctor 100 years ago would have recognized the high doses. You might have gone to a herbalist in the past to have your thyroid issue dealt with. And while herbs often can't get to the cure of it, they can be very, very efficacious to make things better while you're actually effecting the real cure. And lemon balm, which grows in gardens, certainly in the UK, very, very freely, lemon balm is wonderful for hormonal balance. And it literally gives your thyroid a little rest. Other ones are hyssop. Traditionally, you know, hyssop tea would be given. There are others, you know, in South Africa and so on, rooibos tea would be a remedy of choice. And there are a couple of others called motherwort, rather, and bugleweed. And of course, and Jeremy perhaps might be able to tell us about moringa, because I've heard that moringa is extremely good for hypothyroid. Is that right, Jeremy?
Well, I mean, I haven't seen anything that moringa isn't great for, to be honest with you. I mean, I've even had some of my older clients who didn't come in to me for impotency coming up to me and asking me if that stuff's Viagra. So, is my staple supplements is moringa, apple cider vinegar, iodine, because almost everyone needs it, and the fulvic minerals, and then of course the sea salt and things. And these in themselves just seem to produce miraculous results for most people. Yes, we do specifics. I'm glad you picked up on the parasites, because our chronic regimes, we always have one of our parasite zappers, the same as very, very, very effective. There's so many parasites, to answer your question, India, that I don't really bother myself on that. I just assume they're in everybody, and particularly chronic disease, and get to dealing with it. There's one thing that I think we've missed, that Clive may be able to expand on as well, with the thyroid, is soy. Soy, you know, there's a big increase in the soy. Most of it's genetically modified, and soy, to my understanding, has a very detrimental effect on the thyroid. Isn't that correct, Clive?
Absolutely. It's a synthetic estrogen, and I would say it's implicated in breast cancer, possibly ovarian cancer, certainly thyroid, be it hypo or hyper. I would be avoiding any soya these days unless I was convinced it was not genetically modified, which is probably less than 1% now of world production. And I wouldn't eat soy if it hadn't been processed in some way. And the processing would be either to make it into tofu, if it's done by the traditional magnesium chloride method, or fermented. But, you know, unfortunately, soya has become a rather dangerous product these days. But I don't think it was ever fit for human consumption in a non-fermented form.
Can I share a quick story?
Can I just ask you guys, is edamame, is that soybeans just plain? Or is that
yeah, that's fresh soybeans, and as they're not fermented,
probably not a good idea.
No, I think they're rather delicious, which is really annoying. But
yeah, I was going to say I kind of like them, but with given the information, that's.
Can I share a quick story, which is a quick story, and just to give an example of the power of simplicity when understanding and. This is using Clive Ancient Purities Lugol iodine, which we also stock and put our own label on, but it's basically Ancient Purities, wonderful Lugol's iodine. But we had a white fella, I've told this story, but this white fella come in 12 weeks, maybe 12 weeks ago now, gray, in fact, he wasn't white, he was gray, with a huge cancerous tumor coming out of his right kidney. I think you might remember me telling you, and he'd had his kidney removed, chemo, and it came back with aggression. And he had huge goiter, you know, unavoidably noticeable out here, you know. And as I've told the story before, he walked in and sat down and said, I don't know why I'm here. There's no hope, because that's what the legalized drug pushers had told him. And as you know, the case history is to show him he's not sick, he's toxic, and to remove the labels and to bring understanding that he's not sick, he's toxic, and therefore there's something you can do about it. Well, we did that in an hour, and he worked in a cement factory as a mechanic, and so he completely got it that he was toxic because it was such a terrible, terrible environment to work in. Well, he couldn't afford the GC math, unfortunately, so he just went on one of our basic standard protocols, and we had him, that's on our moringa and on apple cider vinegar and on the sea salt and on the water, very alkalized diet, green smoothies, getting in the sea, which of course he can, and I advise anyone to get in the sea if they can. Getting sunshine, but we got him to put 2 drops of iodine on his wrist and 2 drops on his throat, on his goiter, twice a day, actually, which is quite high, really. And we're 12 weeks in now, and his goiter has almost completely disappeared. His tumor has gone from rock solid to like a balloon full of water, and it's reduced maybe 30, maybe 40%. He's in no pain. He was in a lot of pain. He's in no pain. Or occasionally when he moves, he might get a little tagging. But really, he looks 10 years younger. His skin color has changed. The liver spots are going. The little skin tags are going. And my friends, what I want to communicate is, A, you know, the products we promote, we've sourced, we believe, from the best possible suppliers with integrity. That's why I'm proud to use. Why I'm proud to use Clive's products, and even though we put our label on them some of the times, but Clive is a man of great integrity, as is the people that work with him, and that's very important, because energetically that works its way through, and they've been produced for the right reason. But just simple things have turned a man round from a terminal, no hope, giving up, 1 foot in the grave, planning his funeral, to a completely different or beginnings of a completely different man in health, mind, and body. And the power of this iodine cannot be underestimated in my experience and what I view. And I want that to seep into people.
Absolutely. And I think we should be well reminded to let the foods or sources, the minerals, the vitamins, this different things that our planet provides for us to be our medicines, because that is all we need to do is return to appreciating where we came from, because we are essentially the same. We are stardust. The planet is made up of the elements that we are. And so that everything doesn't have to be synthesized, because if it's being synthesized, it's copied off of something that they're replicating from nature anyway. So let's cut out the middleman and all of the fillers and the phoniness, because it's not even necessary. We have everything we need here. Darko, closing remarks before we come to the end of this show. We ran a bit longer than the normal 60 minutes, but it's just been a thrilling conversation. Darko, what have you got to say as we tie up this exchange on thyroid?
Well, I think that the program had great information from all different aspects. I still stand about, you know, my point that simplicity is answer. And even Jeremy now also mentioned this thing, Let's first always start with the simplest thing, and this is detox. Let's detox, let's fill the body with the water and sea salt so it can do properly its job. You see, my rooster agrees with me, so I must be talking correctly.
It's hilarious.
Anytime in doubt, just listen to the nature. Nature will speak.
Jeremy's looking for a bow and arrow. Look, see, he's got a cleaver. Like, he's like Elmer Fudd. Stop it.
I am glad we cannot shoot.
I love chickens. Today. Chickens are some of my best friends, so it's all humor. It's all humor.
I love it. It's a wonderful, wonderful aspect to the show. That's so serious. Anyway,
and we have to understand that.
Okay, the chicken has pulled the plug on Darko. So while we're waiting for the chicken to release him so that he can finish sharing. Oh, wait a minute. Darko, are you back?
Yeah,
tell the chicken to give you just 5 more minutes.
Have you ever seen the Family Guy episode with the big chicken and that?
No, I don't watch Family Guy.
Now, if you go and look up Family Guy chicken fight and now picture Darko and his chicken, it's my mind. I'm sick. I need help.
You need to leave Fox TV alone. Go ahead and finish your thought, Darko, before you're taken away again.
Okay, so just having in mind that disease starts from the cell. And cell is a perfect organism. And it is self-rebuilding, self-sustainable. So just give it opportunity, stop poisoning it, and let it do its cleanse and rebuilding on its own, and everything is going to be fixed by itself. So this is my 2 minutes. I'm got cut off.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. Now, final thoughts, Clive. You wanted to add something into this conversation. Give it to us.
I did. Many people are taking drugs from the doctors that are fluoride-based. So if somebody's drug starts with the word fluoro, it's going to be fluoride-based, and this is going to be damaging their thyroid. That's the simple message there. And there's bound to be a natural alternative to whatever the drug is the doctor has given.
Absolutely. That's so important. Again, for people to take back their own personal responsibility, it's not that difficult to make informed choices. And we're providing a platform so that you can have tons and tons of areas of information to follow those threads and see where they lead you so that you have the option. You don't have to be subjected. You don't have to submit to that victim mentality. Make your own mind, but collect some data, people. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate the panel for all that you do. I love your dedication. And I know you're sitting here on a Saturday when you could be at the beach because some of you live by the sea. I appreciate you and I honor you for all that you are and you do. Before we close, let's give out your information on your websites because we want to do that every so often so that people who haven't heard or haven't caught on or haven't seen the links shared, they can hear it from you this time. Let's start with Jeremy. Jeremy, what is your email information if you want to give that out? What is your website and how can people find you?
Well, first of all, people can always find me on Facebook. You know, Jeremy Ayres, you can find me on Facebook. You can connect that way. We have several websites, but our key ones are gcmathcure.com, which is one that Clive's involved with and several other people that I work with, gcmathcure. And you can, there's always a contact page there. And the main supplement and a lot of information website is themiraclesupplement.com, themiraclesupplement.com. So you can get hold of us that way, and hopefully we'll see you there. And keep opening your minds and let's get everyone naturally better.
Absolutely. Clive, how about you? Give us a bit about where we can find you, your website for your product information, and any of your videos if you want, if you've got them back up just so that you can share.
My website is ancientpurity.com, and that's where to get the supplements that I speak of. We try to go to the highest quality. I do workshops and talks, and anybody who wanted to book me for one, they could contact me at clive@ancientpurity.com, or if they wanted to book me for a consultation, again, clive@ancientpurity.com. I've got another website called healthgenius.uk, which talks further about the workshops that I do with my colleague Richard Cumbers. But anybody's welcome to write to me.
Thank you so much for that. And I can personally vouch for his products, which I just live by. So Ancient Purity is my source for all things supplemental. Absolutely. Darko, last but never least, my darling, where can we find you? And what is your blog site for the listeners and viewers?
Okay. Again, on Facebook, like Jeremy and all of us, my blog site is my name, Darko Velček, which is darkovelck.wordpress.com. And there is also my email address, so it can be contacted through email address or Skype. It's all there on this blog site.
Thank you so much for that. And we also, I'll make sure to share that in the social media when I share this actual event again. I'll pop that down in Facebook and Twitter so that anyone can find it as well. I appreciate your time, as I said, and I look forward to next week. We're going to be talking about our pets. We're going to be discussing animal health and the correlations from the wild animals and what they don't have to wondering and figuring out why are our pets as sick as we are. We'll give you all the solutions you need and the places to start your very own quest for knowledge.
Thank including you so much. Chicken health.
Yeah. I actually there was an article that was just totally off the topic, but this man spent $300 because his goldfish was constipated. So he spent $300 to sort out his goldfish's constipation. So I didn't even know that the food problem is down to even the tiniest pets. We're giving them the wrong stuff because the fish can't shit. So I can't wait to get a hold of that show next week. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you. And thank you for tuning in to CCN. This is Expanding You, over and out. Mm-hmm.